This episode of the Vision Board Podcast is brought to you by Onnit. Why Onnit, you ask? Well, here's a word from Onnit's founder and CEO, Aubrey Marcus.
You know, Onnit is a company that has the tools to improve your performance. And in whatever area that you're looking for, we have something to do it. You know, it's like going to it's the Home Depot of house repair, but instead of house repair, it's body and mind repair. You know, and it's body and mind performance enhancement. It's going to that body shop and figuring out what tools that you can apply to help make your life better.
At the Vision Board Podcast, we only promote supplements that we use ourselves, and we only use the best. To give you insights, here's Johnny.
Yeah, guys, my two favorite that I take, one, Alpha Brain. Alpha Brain really helps improve mental focus and memory, and the second one I really swear by is Shroom Tech. Shroom Tech is designed to help your body with energy and cardiovascular endurance. What's your favorite, Tristan?
Johnny, the two that I love is the Warrior Buffalo Bars. I find these delicious snacks, and they're also perfect for when I'm on the road and also on the run. Also, I love the Dolce Whey. They're grass-fed whey protein isolate, perfect for my smoothies and also my post-workout shakes. Now, guys, check out the range at www.onnit.com, and please use code word VISIONBOARD for 10% off at checkout. Now, guys, enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, today is the first day of the rest of your life. And now, listen in as Tristan and Johnny bring it all to the table on the Vision Board Podcast.
Welcome back, guys. Episode 93 of the Vision Board Podcast. I'm Tristan Cannell, and alongside me, Johnny Stofko.
What's up, Tristan Cannell? How are you doing today?
Doing great, man. You?
Excellent. Ready to rock and roll, man. This is the best part of my week.
Yeah, definitely, guys. So we got a bit of a different spin today, guys. Episode 93 is with Dr. John DeMartini. This was an episode that we did in early January. I was actually away, so Johnny had the privilege of actually doing this by himself.
Yeah, Tristan, you know, everyone listening, they don't know you were traveling for a while, Vietnam, with your family, which was cool. And when you get the opportunity to get a guy like Dr. John DeMartini on, he has a very limited schedule. This guy literally lives on a touring ship. So he gave us those dates, and those dates just happened to coincide with that time of the year that you were traveling. So it was a great opportunity for me to get out of my comfort zone and do this one live in his hotel room in Sydney.
Yeah, it's a bit of a... You know, I'm very, very jealous that you got to do this. I've been following him for a while, but it's an experience that I couldn't hold from you because it might not ever come back again. So I think you guys will really, really enjoy the different sort of perspective of Johnny actually running this by himself, and also the fact that Dr. John DeMartini brings a lot to the table. So this is a great learning experience for you guys as well. And for myself, I think this is a great one for me.
Yeah, guys, listening at home, if you've gone to my Facebook page or my Instagram, you would have probably seen quick little snippets of the video, so you would have seen how we've conducted this interview. And this one was like a CNN style, sitting across a desk facing each other. We had a little film crew behind us, so it was definitely a change of pace for me. I learned a lot. I know you guys will learn a lot with what John gave us. And this guy's wealth of knowledge, his body of work is close to 5 decades, and he definitely talks about it. And I'm really excited to get this one, pumping through the airwaves.
It's very interesting. Is it true that he had a learning disability as a child?
That's right. He was put, the label of being dyslexic was put on him. So he was wearing that around, like being not smart enough. He was in the lower educated classes. He wasn't given a shot at college. And then, you know, in the interview he talks about, he was 18 years old, not with a lot of hopes or aspirations. And he saw a motivational speaker. The name slips my mind. It's in the show notes. And here we go. But anyway, he saw this motivational speaker, and it changed his life. He said within 1 hour, at 18 years old, he knew that he wanted to help people. So wow. He started a mission of learning, and then that learning turned into a mission of teaching. He runs his own university. Mm. He has countless books. Literally, guys, when I was interviewing him on the table, he pulls this book out, and it literally, I asked him, I was like, what is that, like 1,000 pages? He was like, yeah, it's my fourth one I've written. And it's this thing that like makes the Bible look like a pamphlet in terms of size.
Wow, that's incredible.
Absolutely huge. So he's just one of these people that just has a lot to say, a lot to teach, and a lot of advice to give on the law of attraction, success, wanting something, identifying goals, living with intent, And I know that this this interview that we did with him will be very useful to anyone who wants to use it.
Okay, guys. Well, we better jump straight into it. Sounds too good to let us be chatting for too long. So here's Dr. John DeMartini.
Our special guest with us is Dr. John DeMartini. Dr. John DeMartini is an author, educator, public speaker, business consultant, chiropractor, world traveler, and my favorite lifelong learner. We welcome Dr. John DeMartini.
Thank you for having me.
Let's get the show started with share a little bit of insight with the intent and purpose of your trip today in beautiful Sydney, Australia.
Well, I just arrived into Sydney this week. And I got off where I live on a ship, and I came into the Sydney Harbor, and I'm now here at the hotel. And I'm here doing programs, one of them which is Master Planning for Life, which is a executive planning program, and also a entrepreneur program that I'll be doing, and a webinar. So I'm here just for a few days, and then I'm off to Dublin.
So is this program Master, you know, for Life, is this something that has evolved into... Basically, could anybody get into it and enroll? Like, could a 19-year-old listening right now enroll in it, or is it something that you've had to evolve into?
Well, this particular program I've been doing for, I think, 25 years, and I've had all different ages there. Sometimes I have parents of companies that run companies that have their children go through it, or they're not young children, but teens and 20-year-olds that are young entrepreneurs that want to go and develop their life. But it is basically a planning program on... Exactly, what are your priorities in life? What do you want to accomplish in life? It could be business, it could be financial, it could be educational, it could be social, it could be family related, it could be physical health related, anything to help them master their life. What I've done is compiled about 2,000 questions. So it's like me standing over their shoulder as a consultant asking them questions about how and what they really want and how they're going to get it. And so it's basically sitting for 3 days in executive planning, and then I will float around and my assistants will float around and do whatever we can to assist people on the clarifying that. And then when they're done, they'll print out a booklet, which will be about 250 pages of just exactly how they want their life and what they want to accomplish and when they want to accomplish it, that will be able to be updated and refined at any time as they see fit.
So once the, you know, your students enroll and they go through the process of identifying their intent and understanding what that means, what sort of, are the handbooks that they receive, is that what's used to kind of an accountability tracker after you leave, after you're gone, when they're sent out to live their daily life? What sort of routine are they expected of anything?
Well, the booklet has all types of practical things they can do, from daily delegations to distraction resolutions to prioritizations. It's a manual. It's like a planning manual. It's a life manual. It's also a master plan. So it's a little of all those things together. And most people, they just continue working on it. I have many people who have attended that program many years and shared their experiences and accomplishments as they go through each year as they keep updating their plans. I've been doing plans, master planning, for many, many years, 44 years now. So I've found that more than productive and lucrative in some respects. So I try to share that with other people. People kept seeing my master plan, and I have an example of one of the volumes here. It's a multi-volume plan. So wow. I basically go through, and I call it the State of the Mission program.
So guys listening at home, Dr. John just pulled out a book, probably what, thousands of pages?
This one's 1,000, but there's 4 of these volumes. So it's all the objectives, exactly when, where, what, plus the metrics, plus the... accomplishments, plus the posthumous biography, values, standards, objectives of all different areas, 7 areas of life. So I've been doing this quite a while.
So the show is called the Vision Board Podcast. I first got into, or actually heard of, vision boards roughly 5 years ago. I was living in Las Vegas and got involved with a leadership and personal development school. Shout out, rapport. And I had done a vision board for the first time, and on that vision board, it was so simple at the time. I didn't have a visa. I had never traveled outside the United States, so it was something as simple as just putting a passport on there. I'm really intrigued in the law of attraction, and I wanted to ask your opinion on, because when you have people, you talk about the law of gravity. You throw something up, it falls down. People believe it just like that because they could see it. When we start speaking about the law of attraction, it seems some people are 1 foot in, 1 foot out, and I always think about it, is it because it's not something tangible right away in this instant gratification world we live in that people may not see? And whatever, in your head, you guess the simple question is, break down the law of attraction for me in its most simplistic form to the, you know, new listener at home.
I'm a little bit more practical than an esoteric law of attraction, which is sometimes promoted. I believe that every human being lives by a set of priorities, a set of values, things that are most important to least important in their life. And whatever is highest on the value list, whatever is highest in priority, we tend to be drawn to, we tend to notice in our environment. For instance, if you're a mother and you have 3 children and they're all under age 5, and you were to have that woman walk in a mall, she would spot children's clothes, children's educational things, etc., and synchronously be drawn to that and notice it and have an alert to that. She can sleep through a freight train but wake up at the whimpering of a child on a monitor. She has a selective biased attention for things that are highest on the value. The second we set goals that are truly congruent and clear with our highest values, we maximize our awareness, we maximize our decision processing, we maximize our action steps, and we seem to accelerate the achievements. But whenever we set goals that are lower on our values, it goes in the other direction. So the law of attraction is partly simply having congruency with what you're intending, with what's really valuable to you. If somebody says, I want to be financially independent, for instance, and they put their hand up and I ask them, how many want to be financially independent? But they don't really truly have that on their value list. They'd rather spend their money on consumables that depreciate than buying assets that appreciate. Then they will not see opportunities, take advantage of opportunities as easily. So the law of attraction has a lot to do with the degree of congruency between what your true intentions are, your highest values, and the goals that you set.
So for somebody listening at home who may feel, I know at one time in my life I felt super lost, like interested, aware, questioning things, wanting to figure out answers, but sometimes you kind of get stuck. People can kind of get caught in bad momentum, and whether they created it or not, some people could feel lost. So when you mention these values and then identifying what you want with these values, is there a simple way to readjust or maybe rewire somebody's mental framework if their values are a little off, I guess?
Well, nobody's values are off. But what happens is many times, whatever the values are is what they value. Some people are valuing family. Some people are valuing business. Some people are valuing health and some fitness. And some are social or spiritual. There's no wrong value.
So if it's to get famous, would you say that's wrong? What if somebody was, I just want rich and famous?
Well,
what would you say?
If you have a fantasy of rich and famous without doing the due diligence of serving vast numbers of people to get there, then you have a delusion. You're not going to get rich or famous if you're not serving people and contributing to people's lives and fulfilling their needs and values themselves. So if you have a fantasy about being rich and famous, but you don't have the values that it takes to get there, then you'll bang your head against the wall and frustrate yourself. This happens with economics. If I'm standing in front of 10,000 people and I ask how many of you want to be financially independent, every hand goes up. But if I ask how many of you are, it's less than 1%. So that means 99% of the people live usually with a delusion and fantasy that they're going to be rich without having the values of really building a business that serves people and having the values of saving and investing and buying assets that make sure that they have money working for them instead of them being slaves for money. So unless you have the values that will lead you to what you say you want, there have to be a congruency between what your intentions are and what you really value. This is the key. So the second there's congruency, the law of attraction manifests itself with incredible awareness, incredible decision speed, and incredible action steps, prioritized action steps.
You mentioned synchronicity, and it was 2 weeks ago I was interviewing a chiropractor, Dr. Tim Robards, and he mentioned you. And at the time I knew who you were. I take notes, so I write the note down. And after Tim leaves the interview, I email you. And just in that time, Justine emails me back, says where you're going to be, and now we're doing this interview. How important is it to take action?
Well, I can't imagine achieving at high levels without incredible amounts of action. So to think that you're going to do something magnificent with your life without taking action is probably delusional. The people I know that have achieved the most are the ones that took actions and did a lot of actions and stayed on priority. If you don't fill your day with high priority actions that inspire you, your life is going to fill up with low priority distractions that don't. And if you don't set goals that you're congruent with your real values, you're going to frustrate yourself on achievement.
Yeah, so we talk a lot about on the show daily rituals, non-negotiables. We talk to world champion fighters, Fortune 500 CEOs, gentlemen like yourself. From the time your alarm goes off, or maybe it doesn't go off, and you're just, you know, you wake up, are there any non-negotiables that you have in your everyday life that somebody or maybe you might take for granted, but then you see in hindsight has allowed you to continuously evolve?
Well, when I get up in the morning, I'm usually either on the ship or I'm on the hotel, and I'll usually get a wake-up call. Sometimes I'll wake up just spontaneously, but I usually get a wake-up call. I usually go through in my mind a gratitude list, which I have compiled the night before and put in my planner. So what I do is every single night, I write down everything that I was able to do that day, and I document in a journal of the things that I'm grateful for that I was able to do that day. I learned from my mother when I was very young, because I was born on Thanksgiving Day, if I'm grateful for what I have, I get more to be grateful for. So I document those. So the thing I do before I go to bed is a document of the things I'm grateful for. When I wake up, it's fresh. So I can think about those things and think about what are my priorities for the day. I know what my mission is. What's the highest priority actions I can do today to help me fulfill my mission? And then I focus on that. And I usually write it on a piece of paper, which is sitting right in front of us here. I'll take a piece of paper out and I'll actually document what those are, and I'll carry those and I'll focus on those for the day. And throughout the day, there's usually things I didn't anticipate that I include and I prioritize again, or things that I now think of throughout the day that I thought of another one and I'll reprioritize it.
Do you ever focus on things that no longer suit you? So the law of subtraction. Someone once said, in order to get to where we want to go, we must know who we have to become. So a lot of us, we want more things. We want a new car, a new house. But sometimes we need to audit the behaviors and limit and take things out to get to where we want to go. Is there ever a time where you do that, go through your checklist, and say, you know what, let's stop doing this? And if so, could you give us a little insight on what maybe one of those things are?
Well, if you don't say no to things that are low in priority and distractions from those projections of others, then you're going to be trapped. So you have to say no to certain things and be polite about it and dignified about it. Just say thank you, but no thank you. That's not priority right now, because they're going to be bombarding it. Everybody's going to project their values onto you and want to get you to do the things that they want you to do, and you have to prioritize things. And sometimes you go along and you find a more efficient way of getting what you want, or you find out there's something more magnificent to do than what you thought, and you'll delete some things along the way, like a tree that loses its branches as others grow greater to the sun.
One of the questions I like asking, it's a bit of a personality question. You mentioned your mother. You mentioned you said you were born on Thanksgiving Day. Let's take it back when John was 8 years old, 9 years old. When I was 9 on my wall, let's paint that picture. You're in your bedroom, and I had baseball guys and football guys, posters on my wall, guys I thought who I wanted to be like. When you were 9, 10 years old, who were those people on your walls, or what were you into?
Well, when I was 8 or 9, I had my first company. So I was a landscaper. My dad helped me become an entrepreneur because I had learning problems. And that summer, anyway, he made it where he said, if you want to have food, clothing, and rent, you're going to work. So I did all the chores around the house. And when those are done, if I want to make more money, I had to go to the neighbors and work. So I had that as my focus. I was also into baseball. So I did get baseball cards and some baseball posters, but not a lot. I can't say my whole room was that way. I also had an interest in astronomy. So I literally took pictures and literally drew pictures of the moon and the star positions and put those all over the wall. So I had an astronomical vision, I guess, as a child, and I have as a young entrepreneur. I was making good money when I was 9.
You mentioned vision. Did you ever see where you are right now before? Could you see that path?
When I was 17, I nearly died. I ended up helping recover by the help of a lady that found me. And a gentleman named Paul Bragg, I attended his evening talk one night. And one night, in 1 hour, this man with one message inspired me. I saw a vision of what I wanted to do that night as a result of his speech. And I had a lovely gentleman from Melbourne, Australia, a few years ago, paint that. And it's a I envision myself literally speaking in front of a million people, and in the background was a major icon building from every major city across the world. And so I have that painting sitting in my office, and that is in my mind as I sit here.
So that was your vision at 17 when you heard Paul Bragg speak?
When I was 17, I had a vision of traveling the world to speak.
That's amazing. You mentioned...
Guys, we hope you're enjoying the episode with Dr. John DeMartini. If you haven't yet, please check out our other interviews. We feel that you would like interviews with Elliot Hulse, Mario Andretti, Charles Poliquin, and Gary Vee. Please subscribe to the Vision Board podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, and please leave us a 5-star review. Now back to the show.
Potential a lot. You use the word magnificent, which is an awesome word. It should be used more often. You like to... Some people are under the impression that everybody has this... There is no ceiling for full potential. I guess it's the decisions that we make, the momentum we create that either depict where we are or where we're going. Have you ever felt, were there ever times in your life where you felt that you weren't going to live up to your full potential? Post 17 years old?
I don't think that any human being can live up to full potential. I think that's a little bit of a delusion, because the second you achieve something, you see possibilities of achieving ever greater. So I think that we all have goals. We're all shooting for stars and maybe hitting the moon kind of thing. Full potential, I don't know if there's any human being that reaches full potential. I think we reach ever greater degrees of potential as we learn how to refine our behavior and master our lives and learn new skills and surround ourselves with more empowered people, those things. But I don't think there's an end to it. I don't think anybody ever, it's done. It's reached. That'd be like saying we're, I think it's an approximation to ever greater degrees.
With your, did you mention 44 years of work in this book?
Yeah.
And all the content you create and you give out and you reach out to people and you want to impact people on the masses, is that an intent of wanting to just keep getting better and do more? Or is the intent of wanting to see that individuals do better? And what is the purpose and intent of Dr. John DeMartini's brand?
Well, I think it's many things. I don't think it's one thing exactly. I had a dream at one time to reach a million people. And I reached a million people with radio and television very quickly. And then I wanted to reach 100 million, and then I reached that within less than a year. And then I realized that I could reach a billion, and I reached that in 2008 with radio, television, newspaper, magazines. And I then said, okay, well, let's go for 7. Well, we reached 3.9, and we're over the halfway mark. So I just kept figured, well, I'll just do radio and television and newspapers and magazines and write books and do film and do whatever vehicle... webinars, social media, whatever vehicle allows me to reach people to try to reach that goal. So I do that, and I try to bring education to as many people as I can.
Let's switch gears a little bit towards business and creating ideas. You're a consultant?
I consult, yes, with individuals or companies or governments.
Okay, so let's talk about some mistakes you see. Let's put it in a category of just creating businesses from the start. Where this day and age is with social media, where we've evolved with being able to connect with people and touch people really at our fingertips if we just ask. Do you see common mistakes when people are starting businesses out? And if so, could you kind of outline those and give us some insight for the people listening at home to avoid these certain things?
Well, I don't ever think of terms of mistakes. I think of we're all on a journey, and we're using whatever's happening as a feedback to refine our actions. Some people may call it a mistake. I don't use that term normally. But I think that many entrepreneurs have visions of what they want to do, and sometimes they're projections of what they think the world wants without it actually matching what the world is looking for. And so they struggle sometimes trying to position or articulate what they want to bring to the world in terms of the values of the buyers, and then they struggle. So I'm not going to call it a mistake. I'm just call it a feedback to learn how to humble themselves and make sure they really care about humanity to meet the needs of people, so they end up prospering. That's one of the big challenges. Then the other one is making sure that they set goals that are truly congruent with what they value, so they're inspired spontaneously to get up in the morning and do what it is it serves.
Are you familiar with the Terrence McKenna? McKenna had a quote, "Our duty as humans is to create culture, not consume culture." On the note of business, do you ever feel that you could create too much if the value isn't there? Or I know some people live under this umbrella that as long as I'm creating, putting things out there, I'll get to where I want to go. Is there ever a time you feel, we'll use social media, for instance, that you need to audit that content and see where the real value is, or just keep putting it out?
Well, if you put out material that's not serving people, you're not going to go very far. You have to make sure that there's a feedback. So you need to monitor what you're doing and refine what you're doing. Again, I don't call it a mistake. Some people do. I just call it refinement. So I think that if I look back through my career as a speaker, there have been some programs that I've done that have been more in line with what people wanted and others less. And if I refined it and I had the adaptability and resiliency to adapt what I'm presenting and make sure I meet the needs, then I'm busy again. If I'm not, I can't blame the society. You can't blame the customer. There's nothing to blame. It's just a feedback to let you know you're not meeting people's needs, either in the way you're articulating it and marketing and advertising and sales, or the way you're presenting it. They're not getting what they want. If they get what they want, you don't worry about business. They come, the more people refer.
So as a presenter, I was always interested. Let's talk about just live audience. Do you know a number, kind of a guess, the most people you've spoke in front of, we'll say at auditorium, what's that number like?
Well, 28,000 is the biggest I've spoken to.
Okay, and before you went on, do you have nerves? Do you go through a mental checklist? Do you have a system or a process that you run down and say, John, okay, let me take some breaths? What's that like? What's going through your head right before you get the microphone in hand?
You know, I can't say I have any anxieties about speaking. I have more of an anxiety of not speaking. I've done a lot of speeches. I've done between 350 and 400 speeches a year for many years. So I don't have a fear of speaking. As long as I focus on what my mission and message is to the audience and focus on them, you can't have fear if you're focusing on them. You only have fear when you're focusing on you.
And does that message change each time, or do you have that same message for
each? I've never had the same speech twice.
So the intent would be just simply to impact people?
Well, it depends on what the intention of that particular program is about. If they ask me to speak on leadership, then it'll be about leadership. If it's about economics, it's on economics. If it's on personal development, it depends on what the... If it's on change management, time management, whatever the topic is that they've asked me to present, unless they've just asked me to just present whatever I want to present, sometimes that happens.
With the leadership side, we used to do this process called invisible tool belts. Basically, we had to outline and identify characteristic traits that we all possess individually that, you know, allows us to get to where we want to go. Maybe things that our partners or friends, circle of influence, they don't even know about us. It's something that maybe we would keep in our back pocket. If you need to talk your way out of a situation, if you need to get that job, with your invisible tool belt, obviously the obvious ones are public speaking, leading, writing. Could you share with us a little bit of characteristic traits that you feel you possess that not many people know about you, that know you have?
You know, I don't know. I'm just a guy who loves to research, write, travel, and teach. That's it.
Research, write, travel, and teach.
And that's, I do that every day. I research every day. I write every day. I travel quite often. Even if when I'm home, I'm traveling. And I teach as often as I can in every possible vehicle I can. So my skills are only to the degree that I'm able to communicate in people's values. If I communicate in a way where people get a value out of it, I continue. If I don't, I have feedback to let me know that I'm not caring enough about people's values to meet them.
John, we know here on the Vision Board, time is very valuable, so I only have two more questions for you. I really appreciate you sharing the space with us and giving us insight on the man that is Dr. John DeMartini. The first question is, if it's very simple, how would you define success?
Well, I define what some people call success as achieving and fulfilling. What it is whatever an individual has as their hierarchy of values, whenever they're congruent and living in alignment with those highest values, they have the greatest degree of fulfillment. If you set a goal that does not match your highest values, you're going to frustrate yourself. And so you either have to set goals that are congruent with your highest values to have fulfillment and grace, or you have to change your values to match the goals you say you want. But if there's no congruency there, there's no fulfillment there. So congruency and integrity there is probably the most significant thing I can say that achievement or what some people call success is, and whatever that may be. And to Rose Kennedy, who had I have her mission statement that I had in a book that was given to me from the Kennedys, and that was, I dedicate my life to raising a family of world leaders. That was Rose Kennedy's primary aim. So in her eyes, raising beautiful children that became leaders was her fulfillment. another person may win, like Michael Phelps, may be winning in athletics. Another person may be running major companies. It depends on what they value, what's important to them. Setting goals that are congruent is the most important component of achievement and fulfillment, which some people call success.
And then the last question we ask all of our guests on the vision board, Dr. John DeMartini, you're going to have a private dinner party. It's a little personality question. You get 5 invites. You could invite anyone dead or alive, but you can't invite any family or friends. Who are you inviting to dinner?
Who would I invite to dinner today? Well, I rarely put on a dinner. I sometimes have a party set up, but I don't set up too many dinners. Well, I think probably the most significant people in my life have been the greatest thinkers. So I would probably, if I could, bring Stephen Hawking together, maybe Freeman Dyson, maybe Richard Dawkins. I would have probably had the recent Christopher Hitchens in there because he was a bright guy. I'd probably take the brightest thinkers and probably put them together and sit down and discuss issues in the world and just have a incredible conversation, see if I could be enriched and learn.
And that sounds like an amazing dinner party. We would definitely be able to learn from that. And then finally, our fans listening at home, where could the people find you and follow you and continue to support you on your journey?
Well, if they want to find out more about what I'm doing, the best thing to do is to go to the website, drdemartini.com, and drdemartini, DEMARTINI.com. And I think that says it all. It's got what I'm doing, where I'm going, the events I'm doing, products, speeches, media, everything that I've been doing.
And they could book your courses from there?
Yep. They can do everything from the website, or they can follow me on Facebook. We try to educate and inspire people every day on Facebook.
Excellent.
And all the social medias.
John, thanks a lot for your time. I really appreciate it. Thank you for sharing the space with us.
Thank you for this.
Johnny, that was a great interview, man. Thank you for sharing that with myself and also with the audience, man.
Yeah, guys, I appreciate you, Tristan. And Tristan and I, like always, we really value you guys listening. You're the reason why we keep pushing forward. So we just want to say thank you for supporting us so far. Remember to hit up iTunes, subscribe if you haven't, leave us a 5-star review. Also, SoundCloud, it takes 2 seconds, the Vision Board Podcast.
Fantastic, guys. On Wednesday, we've got Frank Zane coming up. So an absolute legend of bodybuilding. We'll delve into the mind of an absolute legend. So thank you, like Johnny said, thank you for the support. And we will see you Wednesday.
Yeah, guys. Also, remember to follow Tristan Cannell on his social media and Johnny Stofko, Facebook, Twitter, and Insta. You guys be good.
Welcome to the Vision Board Podcast. Stories of success from around the world.
You guys are scratching an itch, and that's why this podcast has become popular and successful, is because you guys are scratching an itch. You're enjoying it, and you're also benefiting from the knowledge that people are dropping.
I've never met the person in my life, including my parents, that was able to outwill me about me.
Whatever profession you're in, you need to keep working hard at it. You know, nothing comes easy these days, and you know, you'll get knocked down, but get back up, that counts, so just keep working hard at it.
You know, you guys said you do stuff, you ask things that aren't Googleable. You guys are 2 for 2.
There's never been a time in my life where anybody ever was able to tell me who I was more than I knew who I was.
To join our vision and follow the journey, please subscribe to the Vision Board Podcast via iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.